Tyria stood stock still, her eyes following the receding mists. Suddenly, her fur rose from rudder to ear tip as she picked out the dark blotch on the western horizon. There it was. Raising a paw to her mouth, Tyria bellowed,
"Land dead ahead! Land ho!"
The ship came alive to her cries. A babble of excited chatter broke out.
"I say, you chap, did somebody say land the belly head?"
"You Lelia, that is jolly old land. We made it. What?
Get some blinkin' breakfast served. I ain't going ashore on an empty tum. I get fixations that victuals, you know."
"Oh, my giddy arm, just look, terra flippin' firma. I can't wait to get me confounded paws on it."
Cuthbert's shouts rang out above the clamour.
"Get your idle bottoms back on those old benches, you shower of bobbing beetles! Who gave the order of you to stand around chatting and gawping like a gang of old mousewives on a trip round the bay? Shape up, and let's see a few rosy blisters on those lily-white paws from rowing. Heave and row, and row and pull, and push and pull. Row! Row!"
Passing over the tiller to Rafe Grandon, Cuthbert wasted no time in retrieving his battle-head drum. Soon it was booming as he battered away with his two ladles, still harassing the crew to action.
"Row, ye bilge-bottom blackguards! Breakfast? What swabmanship breakfast, eh? You don't get a single sniff of the cook's apron until the keel hits the shallows. Row! Let's hear those backbones a-creakin'. Get those sweeps movin'. You misbegotten maggots, you far-flung flotsam, you jumped-up jetsam!"
Quartle sniggered to Porton as they pulled furiously.
"Oh, blood and guts says the nicest things, don't he? I always wanted to be jumped-up jetsam."
He missed the stroke and tumbled backwards.
"Whoops! Sorry! Must have caught a crab!"
Porton whispered as he pulled his comrade upright.
"Well, don't tell any beast, old lad. They'll all want some."
The wind stiffened, sending the vessel riding full tilt and landward. Once again, Cuthbert started berating his hapless crew.
"Lay to with those oars! You want to run us onto a reef? There's rocks ahead! Ship your sweeps! Finish with oars afore you wreck me valuable vessel, you cloth-eared clods! I told you to roam, not to go bloomin' mad!"
Quite a bit of muffled laughter broke out among the oar crew, but they gratefully shipped oars, whilst Cuthbert, aided by the fat Corporal Drubblewick, frantically shortened the mainsail to decrease the vessel's speed, with Tyria at the bowsprit calling directions, and Cuthbert manning the tiller skilfully. They charted a course between rocks and reefs. The purloined Petunia made a stately landfall, her keel crunching into the pebbled shallows. Even before they had dropped anchor, the main body of the crew made an eager stampede for the side, every beast wanting to be first ashore. Cuthbert suddenly cast off his maritime coat and reverted to his role of Major Blaindale Frunk. However, it was only with the timely assistance of Captain Rafe Grandon and Colour Sergeant O'Crag that the long patrol was stopped from disembarking and wading ashore. The roars of the three officers froze the crew in their tracks.
"Stand fast there, you mutinous mob! Come to attention, all of you!
You heard the officer! Step fast! Just twitch an ear, laddie-buck, and you'll horn a bloomy fizzer!
Steady in the ranks! Pay attention to the Major now!"
Cuthbert strode the deck, glaring through his monocle.
"Lady Tyrion, Captain Grandon, Sando Crag and my good self are going ashore. We'll form the advance guard in case of attack. Subalterns Quartle and Porton will drop anchor and furl sails. Corporal Drubblewick and the cook in detail will follow us ashore to light a fire and ready up some victuals. The rest of you form a chain from ship to shore, and bring all supplies and arms to land safe and dry and in good order. Whilst you're on yonder island, you'll conduct yourselves like long patrol hares. Right, stand easy, dismiss, and attend to your duties."
As the hares went about their task with military efficiency, Tyria wandered a little way up the beach. She climbed upon a rock and stared around. So, this was the fabled Green Isle, she thought, the home of her distant ancestors. This was actually where the High Queen Rulaine had once ruled.